From the Blue Ridge Mountains to the Chesapeake Bay, Virginia is a mecca for outdoor travel and adventure. Virginia Outdoor Adventures podcast is the ultimate guide for local outdoor recreation, including hiking, camping, kayaking, and so much more. Get the information and the inspiration to plan your own adventure right here in Virginia. I'm your host, Jessica Bowser. Ice climbing in Virginia? You may not think of the South as a destination for ice climbing, but when the conditions are right, the frozen crags and the higher elevations of the Blue Ridge Mountains might be the best-kept secret in Virginia. Grant Price of Blue Ridge Mountain Guides explains why ice climbing is more accessible than you might think. Grant describes the experience of ascending frozen formations, the type of gear required, and how to access ice climbing through guides and clubs, so you can add this winter adventure to your local bucket list. Let's go! Virginia Outdoor Adventures is sponsored by Virginia State Parks. Whether you're after a relaxing picnic or a two-week vacation, leave life's daily pressures behind and reconnect with nature and family at a nearby state park. You'll find plenty of programs, events, and activities among 41 parks, plus thousands of campsites, hundreds of cabins, more than 500 miles of trails, and convenient access to Virginia's major waterways. From Cumberland Gap to the Atlantic Ocean, there's something for everyone at Virginia State Parks. Discover your next state park adventure by clicking on Virginia State Parks in the show notes of your listening app. Blue Ridge Outdoors Magazine takes readers deep into the mountains, covering adventure, recreation, travel, and culture. The largest free, independent outdoor lifestyle magazine in the country, Blue Ridge Outdoors is dedicated to inspiring people in the Blue Ridge and beyond to go outside and play. Every issue includes coverage of top scenic destinations, multi-sport spotlights, interviews with inspiring adventurers, new gear reviews, and features on regional music and culture. Check out Blue Ridge Outdoors Magazine on newsstands monthly or click the link in your show notes to visit BlueRidgeOutdoors.com. Grant, welcome to Virginia Outdoor Adventures.
Hey, Jessica. Thanks so much for having me.
What do you love about Virginia's outdoors?
I grew up in Virginia, and I've been learning about outdoor recreation and playing in the mountains here since I was a child. So call me biased, but we have a good variety of outdoor activities and some great community here. One of my favorite parts about Virginia's outdoors is that a lot of places aren't that mainstream or heavily publicized. So they require some adventuring, which can make for some great experiences, stories, and memories.
I couldn't agree more, especially when it comes to ice climbing, which is what we're going to be talking about. And I am so excited about this topic. I told you before you and I went ice climbing that I had been wanting to go for so, so long. So this is a topic that I'm really excited to share with the listeners. But Grant, what got you hooked on ice climbing?
When I first ice climbed, I think I just wanted to do it. It seemed super cool. I do think the gear drew me in a bit, though. It's really gear intensive and the equipment's quite niche.
Yeah, it definitely is. That was kind of one of the things that kept me from doing it. I mentioned that I had wanted to do it for such a long time, but it is gear intensive. And I knew that this was not something that I could do by myself. So it was, for me, a matter of finding somebody who was an expert in it, who could take me out and who had the gear for me to borrow. So I am so glad that I got introduced to you, Grant. And let's talk a little bit about how ice climbing is different from other forms of climbing, because it is kind of different, but there's also a lot of similarities.
Yeah, it's not like anything you've ever done before. If you go rock climbing, it's not that dissimilar to climbing a tree as a kid or monkeying around on a jungle gym. There's really nothing similar to strapping spikes to your feet and swinging ice tools into a frozen waterfall. Beyond that, another unique aspect of ice climbing is the scarcity of conditions. You can become a bit obsessed with tracking the weather and anticipating appropriate conditions, especially when you're here in Virginia.
The people I know who are really into surfing, they watch the weather intently because they're always looking for the right conditions for the best waves. So when you and I spoke and you were telling me about watching the weather and paying attention to whether or not the conditions will be good for ice climbing, I kind of saw the similarities there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly one of those activities that it's, you know, completely condition dependent.
Which do you think is harder, though? Because for me, I actually thought ice climbing was a little bit easier than rock climbing. What do you think?
I think that the movement in ice climbing is less intuitive. But then once you've got it figured out, the technique is somewhat repetitive. And you're holding on to the ice tool grips. So you've got a good grip the whole time, whereas in rock climbing, that's not always the case.
That was the difference that I noticed. I felt like with rock climbing, you're always looking for the next hold. You know, you're looking for a good place to put your hands and you're looking for a good place to put your feet. And sometimes it's not there. And that's what makes rock climbing either harder or easier is, you know, what the rock is like. Whereas with ice climbing, I felt like it was just that repetitive motion. It was, you know, throw the pick and then put your feet in and throw the next pick and put your feet up. It didn't matter if there was a good hold there or not because you're creating it for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do meet a number of people that say that they prefer ice climbing over rock climbing because of the more secure feeling of holding onto the tools and having, you know, crampon points that can go into the ice really anywhere there's ice.
Grant, how accessible is ice climbing? Do you need to be really fit or do you need to be a certain age?
Yeah, a common misconception with rock or ice climbing is that you need to have a lot of upper body strength. And actually, what powers you up climbs is more so your legs. So you don't have to be terribly strong. One bit of criteria is being able to be outside and hike, to get out to the climbing area, have some energy for climbing, and then still be able to do the hike back. Recommendation we have for a minimum age is 12 years old for ice climbing. And then I've climbed with folks all the way into their 70s.
Wow, that's great. How would you describe ice climbing for someone who's never done it before?
You know, it all starts with the gear. If you're going to go out ice climbing for the first time, likely the day is going to start with getting outfitted with mountaineering boots, crampons, and ice tools. And, you know, Jessica, what was your impression of getting decked out with that equipment for the first time when we went out climbing last month in December?
I thought it was really fascinating because I've seen pictures of it and I've seen videos of it and it looks really cool, but it's a whole different experience when you're actually putting all these things on. You've got the weight of it. I had previously been wearing my insulated winter boots, which are like the heaviest, sturdiest pair of boots that I own, except for my fire boots. And then I was switching over to these mountaineering boots and the difference is really significant, but you could see why you need it too. Like once you actually start using all this gear, you understand exactly what its purpose is and how it's going to help you. I think the ice tools were especially cool. I swing those things around in the stores, of course, when nobody's around, but I'm like, oh, I really want to do this so bad. And I finally got to do it. So it was also exciting at the same time.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think beyond the gear, it then starts to be about the three rules of ice climbing. Don't fall. Specifically, if you're lead climbing, you know, if you're a beginner and you're starting out top roping, it is okay to fall in that context. And then number two, don't put holes in yourself or your gear. And number three, continually refer to rules one and two.
Don't put holes in yourself. can you explain what that means?
Yeah. So once you get out to a climbing area, you're going to need to put crampons onto your boots and basically learn how to walk again. You need to adjust your stance to be a bit wider so that you're not tearing the insides of your pant legs with the 14 points of doom you have strapped on each foot.
14 points of doom. I do remember you saying that when we were out there. Now, when you and I went, we were off the Blue Ridge Parkway, and the conditions were very, very icy. In fact, the Blue Ridge Parkway was closed down to all traffic. And so we were walking in the middle of the road and the whole road was just a sheet of ice. So we used micro spikes to get up there and then changed into the crampons before we started climbing. But you do have to make some adjustments just to make sure that, like you said, you're not tearing your pant legs. And it's not that hard of an adjustment, though, or at least I didn't think so.
Yeah, certainly not something that you can't overcome. That being said, it is pretty common still to tear pant legs. You know, the joke is that really as soon as you have crampons on for the first time, you should just go ahead and tear a hole in your pant leg to get that done with.
I expected that I would because you had told me that I probably would. So I wore this really nice pair of hiking pants I have that are too long on me, and I've had them for years and years. They're Prana brand, so I love them. And I thought, well, if I put a hole in the bottom of these, I'll just cut the bottom off and finally get around to hemming them. but that never happened, so I didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, that's pretty good if you can get through your first day ice climbing without any holes in the pants.
The Virginia Department of Wildlife Resources is proud to connect kids to the outdoors through the Virginia Wildlife Grant Program. To date, the grant program has funded 230 projects and reached over 69,000 youth. You can support the grant program with your purchase of apparel, wildlife guides, and outdoor gear from the DWR shop. Your purchase will help fund programs such as archery, paddling, fishing, hunting, and wildlife viewing. The grant submission period is now open. Do you know a local nonprofit or college that connects youth to the outdoors? Submit a grant application before February 1st to be considered for a $10,000 to $20,000 award. Learn more and apply by clicking Virginia Wildlife Grant Program in your show notes, or support the grant program with your purchase of outdoor gear by clicking DWR Shop. The outdoors are better together when we conserve, connect, and protect. Yeah. So aside from the gear, what is the rest of the experience like? How do you usually describe it to folks? I'm sure people ask you all the time when they find out what you do for a living.
You know, once you start to get acquainted with the equipment, before you actually climb up anything, you need to learn how to swing the ice tool. And despite them being razor sharp, it's actually one of the more challenging aspects of ice climbing. There's a fair amount of technique involved to be able to get a good, secure stick in the ice. And that's especially the case if conditions are cold and the ice is more brittle. You know, once you've started to get swinging the ice tool down, that gets you to a point where you can actually start doing some climbing and learning the cadence of climbing. As you climb, you want to get a tool placement up above your head and then climb your way up to that using your legs. And then get another tool placement above again. So the cadence is swing, kick, kick, swing, kick, kick. And the significance of that is that it keeps you from having to make more of those difficult ice tool placements than you need to in order to gain half body lengths of progress up the ice flow.
You were showing me how to use the ice tools before we even started climbing. So we were standing on the ground, but in front of the rock where it was completely frozen, and you showed me how to swing the tool and we were practicing. You know, it's interesting because for as heavy as those things are, once you sort of get the right momentum, and you were showing me how to sort of flick your wrist, you know, it sticks pretty easily. Although I learned that while I can do it with my right hand really well, it was kind of embarrassing that I'd have such poor control with my left hand and just couldn't seem to get it to stick with the left hand.
Yeah, and that's really common. Even quite experienced ice climbers tend to have a more dominant swing.
We practiced using the ice tools, and then we finally went up. So, you know, we had all the gear on, we had done the practicing, you showed me the cadence, and then you, if I remember correctly, didn't you lead first to set the anchor before I came up?
Yeah, that's right. One of the routes that we wanted to get on required someone to lead climb up to the top and establish a top rope anchor. So I went up and built that anchor and came back down, and then you got on the route on top rope.
It was perfectly safe for a beginner because it was tied in at the top as opposed to having to lead climb up and set anchors as you go. So I felt perfectly comfortable. Of course, watching you go up was so fascinating because you're so skilled and experienced at it. And one thing that I have learned over the years is watching good climbers, they're like dancers on the rock. And I saw that happening with you and I thought, oh, this is good. Look at how he's doing it. It's so easy. It's going to be so easy for me too. And then I went, oh, wait, no, I have to remind myself that I'm probably not going to look so skilled as Grant does. And that's exactly what happened. But after a little bit, I think I started getting the swing of it. And by the end of it, I was doing pretty well, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think you looked really solid on the ice the whole day. And the area that we went to, while we started out on some less difficult routes, you ended up getting on some rather advanced stuff before the day was over.
I thought that was part of the experience too, is just the location where we were off the Blue Ridge Parkway with the views and the cliffs that are covered in ice. It was absolutely beautiful. And you have to hike in just like you would usually for rock climbing. You hike into the location. And so it was just fun to be outside and, you know, to be talking about our experiences in the outdoors and getting to know each other better, but also just doing it in this really beautiful setting. So I think we're really blessed here in Virginia to have these options.
One of the nice things about places to ice climb in Virginia and really any of the southern states is that you're oftentimes seeking out relatively high elevation zones. So we were around 3,000 feet on the Blue Ridge Parkway. And so while down in the valley, there wasn't any snow where we were, there was some snow on the ground. And yeah, we had great conditions, a nice clear day with minimal wind.
It was absolutely beautiful. And I think a lot of people will be surprised to learn that ice climbing is even possible in Virginia. You mentioned a little bit watching the conditions and keeping an eye out for when conditions are right. What are the ideal conditions that are needed?
Generally, you're looking for 5 or more days where temperatures stay below freezing. And ideally, some of those days you're having temps drop down at least into the low 20s, if not the teens. Another factor is the presence or absence of water, and that's based on if there's been recent rain or snow. Some climbs, you'll have issues with there being too much water for it to freeze. Other times, the cliff may not have water at all, and you'll need to wait until you do get a rain or snow event that melts before you can access those kind of routes.
The day that we went, well, first you had called me and you said, well, actually, there's an opportunity to go now that's not going to last. So if you want to go, let's go. And we did. But while we were out there, you were saying that by the next day, the conditions would probably not be good enough anymore to be able to climb. What usually happens, it warms up and then the ice starts to break off. Is that typically what you need to be looking out for?
Yeah, certainly warm temperatures are not conducive to ice climbing. And then, you know, rain is also going to destabilize things. And in Virginia, we may have ice climbing that only comes in for a few days, such was the case when you and I went out. In other seasons, you might see ice that's in for a week or two, maybe longer at a time. So for this winter, we've just seen really one segment of a few days where you could ice climb, and things have been out since. And watching the weather forecast, though, it does look like conditions may come back around towards the end of this month.
That would be great. It seems to me that some climbers tend to be secretive about ice climbing locations. Do you think that has anything to do with the scarcity of the available conditions?
Sure. This is a bit of a southern ice climbing nuance and maybe actually more of a persona of Virginia ice climbers. I've always viewed it as a bit of a running joke personally. All of the areas I climb at, I found online or was told about. There, of course, aren't an abundance of places that you can ice climb in Virginia, and lots of places are off the beaten path and require some searching. So you may not get GPS coordinates, but you can probably find just enough information to have an adventure that's in line with the spirit of climbing ice in the South.
Discover a world of trails, wildlife, and beautiful scenery on Virginia's Eastern Shore, where you'll find the longest stretch of wild coastline remaining on the entire East Coast. Strap on your helmet and experience the Eastern Shore's most iconic sights by bike, including the wild ponies at Chincoteague National Wildlife Refuge, the concrete ghost ships at Kiptopeque State Park, and the marsh overlook at the Eastern Shore of Virginia National Wildlife Refuge. I'm planning my next visit during one of the shore's major biking events. La Tour des Shores in June passes through picturesque towns on the water, and Between the Waters Bike Tour in October features a classic oyster roast and live music after a ride along pristine coastline. One of the most exciting times to visit the Eastern Shore is in the fall, when bird migration is at its peak. Songbirds and birds of prey following the Atlantic coastline as they migrate south are funneled down the peninsula, creating one of the highest concentrations of migrating birds. If you're a bird watcher like me, this is paradise. I've been exploring the shore's 22 stops on the Virginia Bird and Wildlife Trail, as well as observing the flyovers at the Kiptopeque Hawk Watch. I'm looking forward to my first guided excursion to the Eastern Shore's Barrier Islands. In addition to natural beauty, the Eastern Shore is also known for their local artisans, including painters, sculptors, glassblowers, woodcarvers, and more, who find their inspiration from this coastal haven. Natural beauty and authentic coastal heritage, it's a shore thing. Start planning your Eastern Shore trip today. Click on Visit the Eastern Shore of Virginia in the show notes of your podcast listening app. Seems to me that it's helpful if you can find somebody who does it. And I was looking online when I was trying to find you or a guide or somebody else. I eventually came across you, but the information, it's there's not a lot of it out there, but I did find a couple of Facebook groups, and I started calling around and asking questions to different outfitters and, you know, different folks around the area to see if anybody knew anybody. That's eventually how I found you. But if you know somebody, or you can get in with a community of ice climbers, then I think you'll start to find some other locations, or at least be able to hear when other people are monitoring and they know when the conditions are good.
We certainly don't have the largest ice climbing community in Virginia. It is growing though. And so I think it's going to become even more accessible as climbing continues to grow.
What type of gear or equipment is needed to ice climb? What would you recommend for a beginner who doesn't own all the gear?
Yeah, so in addition to the gear that you would take out for top rope rock climbing, things like static rope, climbing rope, harness, helmet, for ice climbing, you're going to very specifically need, you know, clothes similar to what you might wear out skiing or snowboarding, and then mountaineering boots, crampons, and ice tools. Getting access to that gear, some avenues there. You may be able to rent or borrow it. Guide services, clubs, and then university outdoor programs sometimes have fleet gear available. However, in general, the gear is less available in Virginia as opposed to somewhere up north or out west. One avenue to getting access to the gear beyond Virginia is if you head to somewhere like Vermont, New York, New Hampshire, or Colorado or Montana. Those states will have ice climbing festivals where gear manufacturers attend and offer demos. And in addition to the demo gear, there's also clinics with guides and athletes, and a good number of those clinics will be beginner friendly.
So Grant, do you recommend hiring a climbing guide? And I know that's probably a silly question given that you are a climbing guide, but I do have to ask what you would recommend for folks.
Well, truthfully, I didn't actually work with a climbing professional myself until I was being trained to start working as a climbing instructor. Looking back on that though, my progression in climbing probably could have been accelerated had I had some strong mentorship, and I may have been able to make some better informed gear purchasing decisions. For a while, I found myself investing in gear that turned out to not actually be that useful, or that wasn't specifically what I needed. If you're getting into climbing, On your own, you're probably going to need plenty of time and energy to read, watch videos, and practice technical skills at home before going outdoors. And even more time can be required for researching terrain and conditions. So hiring a guide can take away the majority of that homework and set you up for a lower risk, more fun, and educational outdoor experience as you learn the ropes. Guides can also be a good option when you're planning to visit an area that you're less familiar with.
I would agree with all of that. In fact, that's why I was so excited to go with you, because I knew that you would have the gear, you would know where to go, you would know that the conditions were right and safe, and that I could relax not having to worry about safety with you. I just had more peace of mind with a guide. And I think if I were ever to do it again, that's probably the way I would do it. So thank you for that recommendation. And then can you tell me a little bit more about any organizations or clubs that people can join, especially around this area?
Sure. Most climbing involves going out with a partner, and clubs are a great way to meet folks and become a part of the community. In Virginia, the main organizations are the Potomac Appalachian Trail Club, which has a mountaineering section, and then the American Alpine Club, which has a chapter in Richmond and in the DC area.
Great. I will find the links to the websites to those organizations and put them in the show notes if people are looking for them. I know Potomac Appalachian Trail Club, they have a lot of sort of like subdivisions, I guess you could say, right? Like there's a women's climbing group and there's a mountaineering group. So those are great organizations, and I want to make sure that people can find those easily. So I'll put those in the show notes. And what other guiding services do you offer? You're with Blue Ridge Mountain Guides, and you don't just do ice climbing. What else can you do?
In Virginia, North Carolina, and West Virginia, we offer guided rock climbing and instruction. And then in New Hampshire, during the winter time, we have ice climbing, alpine climbing, backcountry skiing, and avalanche education.
All fun things. Grant, how can listeners connect with you?
You can learn more about the guide service at BlueRidgeMountainGuides.com, or check out photos and videos from our trips and courses on Instagram and Facebook at Blue Ridge Mountain Guides.
Great. And check the show notes for all those links. What is one piece of gear you can't live without?
About 5 to 6 years ago, I started utilizing a satellite communicator for emergency communications. So unless I'm in unquestionably good cell phone service, I carry a Garmin inReach Mini 2. And what that is a device small enough to fit in the palm of your hand that allows you to send text and emails through the Iridium satellite array. And many of these devices also have a dedicated SOS button that can notify an emergency response dispatch center. Fortunately, I haven't had to use one in emergency, but I don't forget to bring it with me. One of my favorite non-emergency uses is asking the guide service office to send me a weather update through the day if I'm climbing outside a cell phone service.
That's good to know. I've been thinking about getting one myself because I have a big backpacking trip coming up this summer, and I'm going to be solo backpacking. So in a foreign country too. So I've been thinking maybe it's finally time. I've been holding off because they can be a little bit pricey, but I think it might be time to actually get one of those. So you said you have the Garmin.
Yeah, I've used a variety of the Garmin ones in, at this point, I've landed on the Garmin inReach Mini 2, and that's their latest one that has some upgraded battery power, and it's really compatible with smartwatches and syncs well over Bluetooth to your phone.
Good to know. I've seen a lot of really good reviews for that one. That's what I was leaning towards. So I'm glad to hear that that you recommend it. And then, Grant, what is your next big Virginia outdoor adventure?
Beyond climbing ice and skiing this winter, I'm looking forward to guiding and instructing rock climbing at Great Falls, Wintergreen, and Old Rag when the spring rolls around. I'm currently really enjoying winter, but after a few more months, I'm going to be ready to thaw out.
Ooh, I think I'm going to sign up for a couple of those because Great Falls is not that far from my house, and I've wanted to climb at Old Rag for a while. So where will I find when that's going to be available? Do you have that on your website or on social media?
So our guide availability is online, and you can always reach out if you see that we don't have availability online for a specific date that you're interested in.
Great. Grant, thank you so much for being a guest on Virginia Outdoor Adventures and for taking me out ice climbing and for hopefully introducing the listeners to a really fun and accessible outdoor adventure right here in Virginia.
Absolutely, Jessica. It was great to get out climbing with you and a pleasure to be on the show.
Adventure on.
Adventure on.
Links and resources from this episode are in the notes section of your listening app and on the website at virginiaoutdooradventures.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting me. The easiest and most impactful thing you can do is visit buymeacoffee.com/Jessica Bowser, where you can buy me a virtual coffee or sign up for a membership. Members receive access to the full list of show notes, Virginia Outdoor Adventures vinyl stickers, and a shout out on the show. You can also support me by subscribing to the show on your listening app. Help spread the word by sharing the show or your favorite episode with friends or on social media. Last but not least, leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. I love hearing from my listeners. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Virginia Outdoor Adventures or on the website virginiaoutdooradventures.com. Thanks for listening. Until next time, adventure on.